This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and our first story this hour is about Parliament Digital. So it's a collective initiative by three youth NGOs, namely Undi 18, Challenger Malaysia and Liga Rakyat Demokratik, to show what a virtual parliament sitting would look like here in Malaysia. And this is, of course, in response to the shortest parliamentary sitting in our history last month, which only took 2 hours with no debates or questions. So ever since, there continues to be questions on why the Dewan Rakyat can't seem to adapt to the 21st century. Is it a question of procedure and formality? Is it one of tech literacy? Or is it also maybe the lack of political will? Because if there's any sign that there's an interest in having a parliamentary sitting right now, then we could see that through the number of Parliament Digital applications. And so far, they've received close to 6,000 applications to fill up 222 spots. The two-day program will see participants between the ages of 15 and 35 debating and proposing policy recommendations to address the economic and health crises here in Malaysia. And you can expect this to happen on the 4th and 5th of July. Now, again, I think that it's an interesting time for this to happen because of what we just talked about, which is that we saw an incredibly short parliamentary sitting, and it was one that was just so hotly anticipated before it happened. Although I think we all also maybe kind of knew that it was going to play out the way it did. But that didn't prevent people from feeling disappointed. Because, of course, we are also seeing things like funds being released right now in the form of the stimulus packages. And as we've heard here on the station, the government is actually limited by the funds that they're able to disperse because it is not going through Parliament, because it's not being debated and so on. And so there is this question of, is it really so impossible to have a virtual parliamentary sitting, especially seeing that other countries have managed to get their act together in this regard? So, you know, why not us? And it would at least have opened up the floor for things like debate. So that's on the one hand, you know, being able to see how this could play out and, you know, potentially forging some sort of example for how things could happen in the future, should there be a need to have this sort of virtual sitting. But the other thing is also, it's heartening to look at the level of interest from the public in terms of actually sitting down and going through this process of debating and proposing policy, because we often talk about public engagement when it comes to these matters. And it's important to see, I think, the ways in which the trickle down of this process directly affect us. Because when we see policy recommendations being debated in Parliament, they eventually affect everybody. They eventually come into law, and how much funding goes there, how much attention goes there, how much resources go there, for example. These are things that we should be aware of, because ultimately it affects us and it also involves our tax money. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Again, this is going to be happening on the 4th and 5th of July if you would like to participate. And in the meantime, would love to know what your feelings are on a virtual parliamentary sitting. Is this something that you'd be interested in participating in? Is it something that you would like to see our MPs do? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio to let us know. We're going to be speaking after this with Kira Yusri, who's the co-founder and education director of Undi 18. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:12 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking today about Parliament Digital, which is a collective initiative by three youth NGOs to show what a virtual Parliament sitting would look like here in Malaysia. If you would like to weigh in on whether this is something that you're interested in participating in, or whether this is something that you wish our actual parliament, our actual MPs could do, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we're crossing over to Kira Yusri, who's a co-founder and education director at Undi 18. Kira, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me today.
So we covered a brief introduction of Parliament Digital, but maybe you could tell us what are the objectives that you're hoping to achieve?
Sure. So Parliament Digital is innovative in combining both the need for a well-represented youth space and also a need for solutions to demonstrate that Parliament can convene online. So the idea of the project is to serve as encouragement to the Malaysian Parliament in ensuring that democratic processes are respected and the parliamentarians to be held accountable. We hope that it will promote a more efficient, transparent and responsive government. Overall, I think personally, I feel that young Malaysians need a constructive avenue to speak up and have their concerns and views to be represented. So we hope that through this project, we can gather youth recommendation and perspectives to be shared in the form of a report, which will then be sent to the relevant policymakers.
Right. And this is also in response, of course, to the recent Parliament sitting.
Yes.
So among the people that you work with and looking at the applicants as well, can you give us a sense of how people are feeling about the lack of a more substantial parliamentary sitting?
Yeah, I think it was, I think a lot of them, it came as a shock to that, you know, to realize that Parliament will not actually sit properly. There was a sitting, but there was no discussion, there was no debate going on. So when we scan through the applications of people applying to Parliament Digital, it's very interesting to see them talk about not just national level issues and policies, but it also included issues about their communities, friends, families. So it's very clear that, you know, the lack of parliamentary sitting, the lack of discussion, debate from our elected politicians and cabinet members in discussing this kind of discussing the pandemic and how it's impacting Malaysia, it's going to make a lot of people very angry, make people very dissatisfied at the lack of accountability. So I think that's the most important sentiment that I'm picking up from the project. Yeah.
And looking at Parliament Digital itself, how closely will it follow parliamentary proceedings?
So it's not going to be exactly the same, of course. So we are going to try to mirror the House as best as we can. So our session will include speaker protocols, time limits for speeches, and also a live feed to the public. The participants or the citizen representatives will be selected via a nomination process as well as an application. Through the application, they also send in proposals for motions pertaining to the theme of policy responses to COVID-19. So we are going, hyper-focused into the impact of COVID-19. The idea is that, you know, this is sort of like an emergency sitting and in response to the pandemic. So that's what the debates are going to be based around. The selections will be made based on availability of spaces. So that's what we're going to look at. So after they're selected, they will be divided into 14 state committees. So these state committees will have time to discuss among their committees what they want to debate and what they want to raise during the event itself. And this is another part where we'll try to be as similar as possible, is that we're going to be debating two motions during the event itself. The two motions will be read. They will have a first reading video, which we will publish and distribute on social media a few days before the event. The representatives will be watching the first reading video, and they will have to write in their individual responses to prepare for their speeches. The Secretariat will then order the debate responses according to the timeliness, relevance and the potential of the discussions. So during the Parliament Digital itself, the sessions will be divided into 2 days. Each session, each day will have 4 hours of debate, which would bring a total to 8 hours. At the end of the debate and the resolutions, they will be asked to vote on the motions as well, similar to the actual Parliament.
And you've actually received close to 6,000 applications, from
yes.
what I understand.
Very crazy.
Yeah. That answers my question. What do you make of that number? That's huge.
It was really overwhelming. I think within 24 hours, it was 1,500 applications. And we were just like, what is going on? I think my perspective is that, you know, there is such a clear hunger for representation. And also, I guess that the desire for a platform to speak up from young Malaysians. And I think most importantly, when we were launching the project, we said that, you know, if we can do it, the government should be able to as well. So, you know, if we can do it, they should be able to. And I think that resonated a lot with young people. And you can see that when they were sharing their perspective on why they felt that a digital parliament should be held. And I think it just shows that, you know, young people are not apathetic. We do know what are the issues on the ground are happening, and we want solutions. I think it's very frustrating for a lot of young folks to just go to social media to talk about the issues and then not having a proper avenue or platform to be able to follow up on their problems. Yeah.
So between the nominations and the applications then, what is actually going to go into deciding who's going to fill these 222 seats?
Yeah, so this is a great question because they're not going to be running for elections, right? They're not going to be campaigning.
No.
Yeah, so we don't have time for that at this moment. And I think, so the three organizations, Undi 18, Challenger, as well as Liga Raya Democratic, who form the secretariat, we will pick the candidates based on three rounds of selection. So the first one will be based on the geographical location, so where are you representing, and we will cross-check that against their IC and the SPR's website, followed by the quality of the applications, and the third round will be diverse representation. So, you know, throughout the process, applicants are also required to answer a few short essay questions, and this is how we'll sort of, like, filter the quality of the candidates. So our internal target, you know, we have internal targets of, like, you know, 30% women, OKU representation, Orang Asal representation, and, of course, rural youth as well. So we are trying very hard to ensure that it's not just an urban short-term program. Yeah.
And you talked earlier also about the process that people are expected to go through, you know, this idea of 8-hour sittings and so on. Is there going to be a training module for those who are selected to properly understand the whole process?
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of the participants' concern was also that, you know, I've never been in parliament. You know, I've never debated before. Can I be a rakyat rakyat? And of course, you know, our perspective is that as long as you're Malaysian, as long as you have issues, you absolutely should be given a platform to speak up. That being said, we do want to ensure that the debates are productive, the debates are beneficial for everyone. So we have a group of what we call the resolution team, basically facilitators, who will work with the participants throughout the state committees once they're assigned to put together the speaking points, put together the research for their debate, and as well as running a few public speaking workshops for the participants themselves. So this will all be done virtually online, and so that on the day itself, you know, we'll try to have, we are aiming to have as smooth as possible of an event with 200 plus participants.
Right. And on that note about smoothness, one issue when it comes to doing anything online is access to the internet and, you know, whether your infrastructure is going to be able to hold up things like devices.
Yeah.
How are you planning to deal with that?
Yeah, so we have managed to fundraise for internet subsidies for some of our participants, especially from the low-income community. So we're going to be providing them with sort of like support in terms of purchase data and internet. So these are things that we're able to support from here. We're based in KL, right? But for participants that need more support, if you don't have a laptop or you don't have a space, a conducive space, we've been fortunate enough to be able to work with really amazing grassroots organizations. For example, Majlis Belia Sabah or the Sabah Youth Council, who has offered their office spaces in Sabah for any participants who wants to, you know, who needs a quiet space or a steady internet connection. Locally, we have organizations like Teach for Malaysia, who has also offered their office spaces to any participants in Klang Valley who might need that sort of support. So we've reached out to a range of organizations who have, you know, not just helping us promote the event, but also offer offline support for the program. And that we're really, really grateful.
Are you modelling the sitting after any other actual digital sittings that have taken place in other countries?
Yeah, so there are a few countries that have done a digital parliament sitting. I think I could be wrong. I think Sri Lanka also had it. But we are primarily looking at how the UK is planning their parliamentary sitting, as their political system is quite similar to ours with the Westminster system. So we're still refining the procedures leading up to the event, but we're collaborating with academicians, law experts, and even parliamentary researchers on the project to ensure that our parliament digital is going to be the one that suits our context the most.
So have you actually had any response from MPs? I mean, have they said anything?
Yeah, so we've had very interesting responses from politicians on both sides, actually. You know, so especially on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, where we see them resharing and encouraging youth in their constituency, especially. I feel like, you know, it's like a healthy competition to see who can put in, you know, representation well. So I've seen certain MPs like YB Syed Saddiq. I've seen MPs, even politicians on the Perikatan National Government, you know, like MIC politicians have voiced out his support for the program. I think overall, they see this as a bipartisan project. You know, UDI has always been a bipartisan organization where we believe that, you know, youth empowerment transcends political lines. So that's why, you know, a project like this is not necessarily leaning to one side or the other, but it's more of a platform for young people to air their voices.
And you mentioned that there's going to be a live stream. Where will people be able to view this?
So we are partnering with Malaysia Kini for the media section. So we'll be watching it on their platform. We'll also be streaming on our own social media platform. This is for members of the public, but I would recommend that, you know, if you're interested to play a bigger role in watching it, you can sign up to be an observer on the link at www.bit.ly/parliamentdigital. And the idea is that if you sign up as an observer, you'll be given you'll be watching it through social media. You'll be given a Teams live link because we're partnering with Microsoft to bring this to you, is that you can watch it on the platform itself and also, you know, join in the chat to, you know, give comments, give feedbacks, and also share your opinion on what do you think about the session.
Okay, so Kira, last question. Yeah. We're only a couple of weeks out, but what are you hoping to achieve? I mean, you talked about, and we opened the conversation with this, right? Like hopefully being able to have a report, send it through to relevant authorities. What lasting change are you hoping to see from this?
I think so. There are two goals here, right? Short-term and long-term. So for the short-term goal, within a few days post-program, it should be a few days away from the actual July sitting for our parliament. We will produce a detailed report on the debate outcomes together with the completed guidelines on how to organise and conduct a virtual parliamentary sitting, assuming that, you know, ours is successful. This report will be presented to the Prime Minister, Speaker of the House, media, and also the general public. But on a longer-term perspective, especially looking at the advocacy side of things, we hope to institutionalise the recommendations by the youth parliamentarians through consultations with relevant stakeholders, specifically maybe the Ministry of Youth and Sports, the Ministry of Education and others, especially because you know, the topics that we're going to bring to Parliament Digital are going to be youth-related topics, right? We have seen an interest in the participants that in wanting to discuss issues like online learning, distance learning, exams, the stimulus package. These are all issues that young people want to talk about, so we hope to be able to bring their voices to the relevant ministries to take further action as well. And finally, as part of a larger community that now we've sort of established with the 222 parliamentarians, we also plan to continue the capacity building and advocacy training of these youth parliamentarians with the support of UNICEF for at least a few months post-Parliament Digital, so that we are not just ending their journey after the two-day program. We want to make it a sustainable a program where they get able to learn even post the debate.
Kira, on that note, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me today.
That was Kira Yusri, co-founder and education director at UNDI 18. We've been talking about Parliament Digital. If you're interested in more information or if you wanted to sign up as a participant or observer, again, that website that Kira mentioned is www.bit.ly, that's bit.ly/Parliament Digital. Now, we also, I think, have a caller on the line with us. We have Karthik. Karthik, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. Yes, it's about the whole COVID-19 situation that might be shaping our future and the new norm that comes along with it. I think when you look at it from a perspective of how the parliament sits, you've got this with the education system. You've got this with institutes that are also offering higher learning and stuff like that, where you've conducted online examinations, classes are being online, and things are being put out into Zoom sessions or Skype sessions, even WhatsApp video call. It's so easy to work out. And I think when it comes to how a government runs certain things in a country, and it comes down to putting out a motion through parliament, I think it isn't much of an issue that could be faced, especially at a time like this. Yes, perhaps the COVID-19 pandemic would be changing the way parliaments work around the world, and some parliaments continue to sit. And the whole idea of the previous so-called sitting of the parliament might have actually been around just to silence the waves of some political instability that could be happening But moving forward and not actually setting a proper date could actually put a little bit of unrest, at least from the perspective of the rakyat, because they're not too sure exactly what's going on in the background. And for some of the motions to be brought up and to be argued and to be actually put out to see if people could agree with it, it's put it in a little bit of an unstable area where some things are being approved without even being motioned out, and whether to see the pros and cons of how things work. Basically, I'm trying to say is if they could do it with institutions like education, and you've got this going on with people working from home and you're running meetings, I don't actually see what the biggest concern could be for not running a online virtual parliament sitting.
Yeah, for sure. So with that said, then, are you planning to participate?
Yes, after I heard the previous caller and she was explaining and how it's going to work, I think when it comes to Rakyat's point of view and trying to bring up a motion, I think it'll be easier to connect, at least with MPs or at least with motions that are being put out. And yes, definitely. And I think speaking from a perspective of someone who's in my age, I'm in my early mid-20s, I think when it comes to youth, they are the next generation which actually would decide a little bit on how things would run from this point forward, especially in the 21st century with technology being so easily accessible.
Cool. Karthik, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
So again, if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share on Parliament Digital or the fact that, you know, we didn't actually have a virtual parliamentary sitting, even though other countries have managed to, you can let us know. That number to WhatsApp is 018-789-8899, and you can tweet us at BFM Radio. We're about to head to the 7:30 news, after which we have Popcorn Culture, in which we are going to be throwing back today to Wonder Woman, both on TV as well as in film. So keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.